have brought your presence in this place. God, we've been feeling it, and it feels amazing. God, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word. Lord, I pray that it goes out with a clarity. God, that it brings a fresh perspective of your word, God. I thank you for the ears that are going to hear it, Lord. I pray it pierces hearts, God. Lord, I pray it does what your word does, God. Changes hearts and changes lives. Stir us today, God. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I've been chewing on this message for months now, and finally I was able to talk Dad into letting me have a Sunday finally. You know, I'm just kidding. God said, okay, it's time to go ahead and do this. Give it. So I want to share it today, and then I'm going to share some more next Sunday. And so I want us to look at a scripture here. My title is The Chase. Put that up there. The Chase. God has called us to chase after him, to run after him, pursue him. To follow, to remain. Those are action words. And it's so important that we are doing what God's called us to do and chase after him and run after him. I want us to read one of our main scripture text here this morning together. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. All right, here we go. Let's read this together. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Come on, if you read above that, it's talking about his having a surety in him, knowing that he's going to provide for you. Come on, that he's got your day, so don't even worry about it. Amen.
Amen.
Come on, when we seek first the kingdom of God, all these things, peace comes on us. Come on. Amen. Hope. We get hope. We get the kingdom. We get his kingdom, not just up in heaven, but now.
Yes, yes.
Amen. Amen. Walking complete in faith when we seek him first. Let's talk about that first thing, because I feel like we hear this scripture so often. Dad even shared it last Sunday. We hear this scripture so much that we overlook the depth of this scripture. And so I'm going to need some help, because I want to talk about that word first. All right, where's my little buddy? Where's my little buddy? Where's Shaw at? Where'd he go? Come here, buddy. You're going to have to help me.
You're going to help me?
Come here. No, it's not cool. I'm going to come sit down. We're going to look at this. Just sit down right there. I'm going to sit beside you. It's cool.
All right, so I need you to help me out here. You can help too, okay? And you can help too, all right? How do you define first?
Begin.
That's it. Look, let's read the definition. Coming before all others in time or order, earliest, first. Okay, so here's, all right, so who got some questions? You got A, B, C, and D, right? B comes what, where in the alphabet? Second, right? Second. Okay. That puts C where? Where would that put A?
First.
Oh, man. You're on top of it.
I got two microphones. You're supposed to be holding this microphone. You hold this microphone. I got two microphones. There you go. All right, so let's keep going. So if Eve, you know, Adam and Eve were at the very beginning, right? Eve was created second. What place would Adam be at?
First.
Y'all are supposed to let him answer. He's got the microphone. He's got the talking stick. Okay, let's keep going. So you've got that. Okay, I've got two older brothers. Okay? I'm the youngest. Okay? That puts me the third, right? So then my older two brothers, Matt and Mark. Okay, Mark is the middle one. So if I'm the last, I'm the third, he's the second, what place would that put Matt? Oh, man, that's fantastic. Look at you go. That's amazing. First, it's amazing how we don't understand that sometimes. It says seek first the kingdom of God. It didn't say second. It didn't say third. It said first. Oh, yeah, that's right. I got the other microphone. I don't need that microphone. All right, thank you. I get excited. Yeah, the other one's louder. That's what I like about that other one. They keep this one down. I said I'm loud enough. I get it. Get a little carried away. Hallelujah. Glory. I got to keep y'all awake. Oh, man. All right, so, you know, in our life, we have a priority list, right? What we, kind of the top, and then what's the next, and what's that. Whether you purposely do it or nonchalantly do it, and it comes naturally, it happens, okay? Everybody has a list of what they put first in their life, what's the more valuable to them, and then it just kind of keeps going down, right? Now, I have my list, okay? I'm going to put my list on this board. Do not judge me for my list. Okay? Okay? You can take it up with HR. It's fine. I don't care. Okay? I don't mind. There's a complaint box back there. It's fine. I'll never look at it, but it's cool. All right? But you have your own list, and I'm not going to judge you for your list. Okay? So first thing is, I think everybody can have this at the top of their priority list. Is number one is God. That's fantastic. Look at you churchy people putting God first. That's amazing. That's in gold star. They're yelling at me. Put this over here. Okay, got it. All right. Got it? Okay, fantastic. All right, so God, that's first, man. That's fantastic. Well, so there's other people that will put church first right underneath God. I don't do that. That's not priority. That's not number one. Sorry. There's a lot of pastors that do that, but they're the ones who have a lot of marriage problems, and so I'm not going to do that. See, my wife. Wait, I gotta spell it right. I've spelt it a couple dozen times already. Oh, that sub was yelling at me. Hang on. My spouse. Okay. It's my list. It's okay. It's just my list. Okay. All right. So my wife is my helpmate. She comes before my kids. Amen. Because she was before my kids and she'll be after my kids. Come on. Amen. When they get out of my house finally at 60 years old. Glory. All right. That's funny. Y'all got that. It's late. Okay. All right. So my wife is right underneath that. She's priority. Okay. Then it's my kids. Okay, now this next one is a, that you might would be like, well, I don't know about that, but that's okay. This is my list, not yours. Okay, my job. Because see, God opened the door for this, and God gave me this, these two hands and these two feet to provide for these people right here.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so that's my list, and then is church. Yep. See, that's why I wasn't over there. That's why can I move right here? Am I still in there? Okay, fantastic. Church and family. Okay, so that's my list. That's fantastic. I have seen so many times in church and so many people miss that scripture, and they think, because they say, well, God's at the top, and since God's at the top, everything else comes down. And here's what happens when you put just God up here and that's the only spot he's at. I've seen this happen so many times in the church. Make sure this thing's off here. Is that people come and they say, I put God first, but their lives not showing it. You could see that they're putting their family before God, or their jobs before God, or their whatever before God. Amen. It's happening all over in the church. Oh, I put God first, but then it's hit and miss at church. I put God first, and how I put God first is I read my Bible when Brother Tony posted on Facebook. That's my Bible time. Come on. I put God first. I see it. Come on. I see it in the church all the time. Where people say, yes, I put God first, but their actions, they don't get that first part. They're not understanding what that first part really means. They come to church and they raise their hands and then they go back and live exactly the way they were living, doing exactly what they were doing. That's not putting God first. Reading a scripture off of Facebook once a day is not putting God first. But Brandon, I pray for my kids every night. You say the same little old repeated little prayer every single night. 5 seconds. That's your prayer time. I'm leading my family. But yet I allow them to watch whatever I want, whatever they want to watch, because I'm their friend. I'll put God first. But we see it all the time. All the time in church. I see it in parents. We see it. And we wonder why there's so many problems in the church. We wonder why there's so many problems in this world. Is people aren't putting God first. They're not seeking God first. There's so many people in the church playing patty cake these days. Can I tell you something? God is coming back for His bride. He's coming back for His bride. Spotless bride. It's so important that we line our lives up with God's Word. I want to show you this, show you my list. I want to show you this on my list. And this is, I want to practically look at putting God first. Can we do that for a moment? Because see, we think this is a nice little list, but we put God here, and then our focus begins on all these other things in life. We come on church, and we're going to listen to you, God. And then on Sunday afternoon, it's all about us and being with them and nothing else. And then on Monday, it's all about our job and then nothing else. And our mind gets all these other places. It's called distraction. Amen. I want to walk you through something practical. What it actually practically looks like putting God first, seeking first the kingdom of God. Amen. Can I do that? Yeah. Can we look at that? See, God is not just supposed to be up here. God is supposed to be before your wife, your spouse. But see, when we seek God first as a spouse in our marriages, we realize we're actually supposed to be ministers to our spouse.
That's right.
That's my Spanish for ministers. Y'all don't judge me. Okay? God's called us to minister to our spouse, to our loved ones. Amen. When we're seeking God's face, we go into the marriage. Come on, married couples, listen to me. As a husband, Ephesians 5:25. It's not the couple of scriptures above where it says, wives, submit to... Husbands, listen, it says, husbands, love your wives. Amen. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. 1 Peter 4:8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers all multitude of sins. Love. Our job as spouses is ministers. Come on, when we're seeking God's face, we realize that that's what our job is to minister to our spouse, to be a minister. That's seeking God. That's putting God first. Amen. Amen. We pray for our spouses. Amen. We lift them up. Amen. Not God, you need to fix her. God, fix me. How can I be a better spouse? How can I be a better husband? How can I lead her to a deeper walk with you, Father? What can I do to minister to my spouse? That's seeking God first. That's putting God first in your marriage. Ministering. Understand that you're a minister of the gospel to your spouse. Amen. That's seeking Him. That's putting Him first. Understanding that you are a minister. Mm-hmm. to your spouse. All right, y'all ready? We're going to keep on going. We're going to put God first. We're going to seek God first for our kids. I'm going to get on a soapbox for a moment. Let me read you guys some scripture. When we seek God first, God gives us direction on how to parent. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bible says, Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way they should go, and he will. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child. Teach your kids. I have a lot of families, a lot of parents that I've ran into, Miss North, that they say this: I'm going to parent like I want to parent, not like my parents parented. How many have heard that one? I'm not going to parent like my parents. I'm going to parent like I'm going to parent. Can I break something down? Parents, listen to me. Young parents, there's only a couple of you in here left. You don't know what you're doing either. Your parents didn't know what they were doing. See, I've got a 16-year-old. I don't know how to parent a 17-year-old, Michelle. I'm still in the learning how to do it as a 16. She's a 16-year-old. It's truth. And just because I've parented a couple of 8-year-olds, doesn't mean that's going to fit for my two other little ones that are coming up.
That's right. That's true. The world is changing.
But instead of sitting there saying, I'm not going to parent like my parents parented just because I didn't like certain things that they did, I got to seek God's face.
Amen.
Put him first,
amen,
as a parent and do what God's word says,
yes,
for me to do.
I'm
going to take some things of my parents. I'm not going to sit there and wash them all away. I'm going to sit there and glean from them. But I'm going to find out what the Word says as a parent and how to parent.
Yes.
You know what the Word of God says? I can't tell you how many times I've heard parents say this. I don't spank my kids. I don't do that. It just doesn't work with my kids. Let me read you what the Scripture says. This is the Word of God. So just in case you're a parent that feels this way, listen to the Word of God.
Amen.
Okay? Proverbs 13:24 says this: whoever spares the rod, it doesn't say that. It doesn't say spoil. I saw that too. Spare the rod. I'm going to put this in there. You know what it says? It doesn't even say that. You know King James Version? It don't even say that. NIV doesn't say it that way. Says it this way. It says, whoever spares the rod hates their children. That's on a whole nother level. Wow. That's not just spoiling them. Think about that. That's like, it goes from, that escalates real quick. I mean, the spoiling the child sounds a whole lot better. But the Word of God says, hates their children. In other words, you need to have a deeper love for your kids and understand you need to correct them.
Amen.
You need to train them. You need to instruct them. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in discipline and instructions of the Lord. Whereas parents, we're not their friends. We are parents. And so we seek God's first on how to parent. A lot of parents don't do that. They think, I want to do it my way. I'm going to say this. Look at the schools today. See, there's a moral decline. There's a standard that's way down here. It's because there's a whole lot of parents thinking they're going to want to parent the way they want to parent versus parenting the way the Word of God says for them to parent.
That's right.
Yeah. There is such a moral decline. There's such a moral standard that is so low. Can I tell you something? And I'm going to keep on moving on because I love this subject. I'm going to preach on it. It's cool. I don't care. That's the thing about parents. They don't like being told how to parent. It's okay. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. Don't shoot me, okay? All right. I hadn't got it all figured out. I feel like Paul sometimes. I'm just, you know, I hadn't got it all figured out. But one thing I do is I press on toward the mark. I ain't got it all figured out. So don't sit there and think I'm got my stuff together. I'm working at this thing just like you. But the Word of God tells us to seek first the kingdom of God. Seek Him first as a parent. I'm giving you a practical look of what it means to put God first. It's not just sitting there, okay, I'm going to pray one in the morning and then that's it. It's all day long prayer. Pray continuously. It's seeking God's face in every aspect of our lives. And I know parents don't like to be told how to parent. They don't. It's okay. I've had people tell me how to parent. I don't like it either. It's okay. It's all right. But it's so important that we are seeking God's face. Amen. When it comes to our kids. Here's what the Word of God says this. It says that kids are like arrows. Oh, I love this scripture. I love it, man. It just, it excites me. Psalms 127, verse 4, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So our children are one's youth. The Bible calls us parents warriors. I love that. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Come on. Children are amazing. They're a blessing. But God's called us not to be a best friend to them. He has called us to be a warrior for them. It doesn't matter how old your kids are. Be a warrior for them. Pray for them. Seek God's face for them. Come on, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. War for them. Protect them. As parents of littles, don't allow your kids to watch all anything that they want to watch. Protect those eyes. Come on, and ears. Protect them. Be the warrior that God's called you to be. If you're watching this right now online, be the parent that God's called to be the warrior. War for your kids. Intercede for them. Come on, man. There are so many messed up kids out there. I talked to my older two about kids in the school. Man, oh man, I'm telling you, there is so much sexual confusion in the schools today. It is mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. How everybody out there, I want to identify as this, or I want to be this, I want to be that. God didn't make you that way. Come on, it's a male or female. That's it. Amen. And it's as parents, we've got to rise up and intercede for our kids. We've got to intercede for them. And make it very clear. Kids are going to make their own choices, but you know what we're going to do? We're going to make a stand. As parents, we have to make a stand. This is the line. This is what the Word of God says. He created you. Amen. This is how He created you. And this is where we are drawing the line. Amen. That's how we seek God first. We put God first. We're ministers to our spouses. We're ministers to our kids. Hallelujah. Amen. We're ministers. Amen. That's good stuff right there. I don't care who you are. That's good. Hallelujah. That just gets me excited because I'm telling you, God's called us to be warriors. Amen. Arrows in the hands of warriors. Pastor, you've got three grown-up kids. Do you stop? Have you ever stopped interceding for us? Have you ever stopped warring for us? Will you ever stop warring for us? Absolutely not. Doesn't matter how old your children are, you war for your children. And when they ask you your opinion, you tell them exactly your opinion, lining up with the Word of God.
Amen.
Not second opinions of so-and-so, but the Word of God.
Yeah. Come on.
You stand on that foundation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm going to keep going. All right, let's go. Let's go. Jobs. I love it. I love it. God's called us to minister. At our jobs, man, you're ministers of the gospel. Do you know that when you said, when you signed up for this and you accepted God as your Lord and your personal Savior, you said you signed up to be a minister of the gospel? That was in the fine print, I guess. At some point you'll get there and read it, but you understand that's what it is. You're a minister of the gospel once you signed up, when you said, God, I invite you into my life. You are a minister of the gospel. Now, just because you are a minister of the gospel and you are God's creation does not mean that you are not walking through some stuff. It just means that God's actually working in you now. And God's helping you and walking with you and correcting some things. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Come on. It means we're walking this thing out. Don't ever think, well, I'm just this or I'm going through this problem, so I can't really minister. I've got this problem, so I really can't pray. I've got this thing going on. I've got an ache in my body, so I can't pray for healing for somebody else. I've got this addiction that I've been fighting with, so I really can't do anything in the ministry. No, no, no. You seek God's face. And as we're walking this thing out, God will work with you and heal you from that. Because when we're seeking the kingdom of God first, and we understood that definition of first here just a few minutes ago from Brother Shaw, right? We learned that one, okay? Here he goes, raising his hand. All right. We understand the definition of first. It means first. Seeking God first in every area of our lives. And when we do that, come on, we're actually realizing that, getting this in our head, I'm not supposed to be in this marriage for myself. I'm in this marriage to lift her up and encourage her and strengthen her. Amen. And when I'm seeking God's face to how to parent, God shows it in my heart that I'm not supposed to be their best friends. I'm supposed to be a minister to them. I'm supposed to war for them. I'm supposed to parent for them. Yes. Amen. Same thing with our jobs. It may not be the most glorious thing. But so what? If God opened the door for it, be grateful for it. Amen. Word of God says, do everything. Colossians 3:17 says, do everything in word or deed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Everything. Everything. Father, thank you for my job. God, thank you that I get to go to work tomorrow. That's right. And guess what happens at the end of the day on Monday? Guess what? I get to do it again tomorrow. I walk out of my office every day. All the ladies out there, I'm like, hey, guess what? We get to do it again tomorrow. Deal with all them customers. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Seek God first. Seek God first with your job. I'm telling you, you've been praying for some things for breakthrough in your job. Man, seek him first. You got problems with coworkers? Seek God first. Ask God how to give you the words to say to impact their lives. How to change the situation. God, thank you for my bosses. You know, even though they may not be doing right or whatever, pray for them. Father, show them what's going on. Lord, just bless them, Father. God, do a work in their lives. God, I thank you so much for my bosses. Thank you for letting them hire me, Lord. Thank you for letting them choose me and listening to your voice to hire me. I just pray a blessing over them. I promise you, when you start seeking God's face at your job, you're going to see some major things happen. Seek God's face. Seek God first when it comes to your job. Don't sit there and be disgruntled. If you're disgruntled, look at God. Seek God first. It's probably because you're looking at yourself and being all like, oh, woe is me. I promise you, if you start telling yourself that I'm unhappy, this job is horrible, guess what's going to happen? The next day, it's going to be horrible. And then the next day, it's going to be horrible. That'll preach. Come on, lady, that's right. It's just going to get worse. And the next thing you know, you're going to get fired because you ain't doing your job right. Put God first at the church. Put God first. Just because the pastor preaches too long sometimes. I'm just kidding, he don't. He don't. Just because the worship team goes on too long on a song. Pastor done preached way too long of an offering. What are they going to get new seats? They've had them for umpteen years. Pray for the church. You are ministers of the gospel here. Amen. You are. You are a minister here. I've said this so many times because I need you to get it. I hope you get it. That you are a minister here at this church body. Just because you may not have a ministerial license in your wallet doesn't mean you're not a minister. Amen. I'm telling you, God's called you to minister here. When you come in this place, come on, give her Miss Destiny a high five. I love it. It's one of my favorite things to do. That's ministry. Giving hugs to Miss Cherry. Miss Cherry yells at probably everybody if they don't give her a hug. That's ministry. Amen. Every time, giving hugs, loving on people, that's ministry. If we come in this place saying, I can't believe this, or this person, or this person, or this, or this place, or this, or that. That's not what God's called us to do. Seek God first when it comes to this church body. Amen. Because God's called you to be a minister here. To encourage, to pray for your pastors, to pray for your leadership. Amen. Amen. We know we got problems. You ain't got to come and tell us. Pastor knows. It's cool. I tell him all the time. It's fine. Oh, that's good stuff right there. I don't care who you are. Reese, come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, I'm telling you, God has called us to run a race. To run a race. You know, when we read the scripture, when it talks about our position as a believer, I think just about every single verse you can find is an action word.
Yes, it is.
It's action. Remain. Fear. Follow. Let's read a couple quick. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's what we've been reading. Seek first. Seek. Right? Matthew 33:22. Jesus was asked, what's the most important commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Put him first. Exodus says, God says, not to put any other gods before me. Follow him. Matthew 10:38-39. Anyone who does not pick up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Colossians 3:17. Do everything in word or deed. Do it in the name of Jesus. We've already read that one. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. All these scriptures are, these actions. Calls us to do something, to seek him, to be in a relationship with him. Okay, let me say something. We do not believe here at this church a once saved, always saved thing. We don't believe that. Look at the scripture. Let's look at what the scripture says just for a moment. I want us to read some scriptures. Jesus talks about this, or in Revelations, it talks about this. It talks about a lukewarm Christian. Listen, this is not a time for us to play around and just say, oh, yep, God's at the top.
No, God has got to be involved with every single thing of our lives. We got to invite Him in and fellowship and have a relationship with the Father. Revelations 3:15-16 says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold or hot. I would thou wert cold or hot, so then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Well, my God is just a beautiful God. He doesn't do that. He says, I will spew you out of my mouth. I'd rather you be hot or cold, not this wishy-washy thing. There's a lot of wishy-washy Christians that call themselves Christians that come to church and play church. I say, yep, I put God first. But then they do all these things and how they want to do it and how they feel to do it. And in every aspect of their lives are going on their own understanding and doing their own thing. But then they come to church and play patty cake. Hallelujah. And then go back about doing their own thing, not even talking to God the rest of the week.
That's right. You're right.
That's what lukewarm looks like. That's what lukewarm looks like. Bible says, I will spew you out. You don't believe me? Let's keep on reading. John 15:4-6, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me, remain. That means stay in. Stay connected to me. Run your race. I know you've got some things going on in your life. I get that. That's why I died on the cross for you. Yeah. So that you can run this race. You can remain in me. Yes. It says, I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Oh, God, that's my heart. God, I want to bear fruit. I want to see fruit in my job. I want to see fruit in my marriage. I want to see fruit in my kids. I want to see fruit here. I want to see fruit everywhere I go, man. And so I seek God's face when it comes to every area of my life. God, is this the best financial decision that I'm supposed to be doing? Is it okay to sign on the dotted line and be in debt for the next 5 years with this loan? Seek God's face in every area.
Amen.
You will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And everybody kind of leaves it there. But continue reading what the Word of God actually says. It says in verse 6, it says, if you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Yeah. Pastor, that's just... I like the other verses better. That's why we read the whole word. And we get this whole thing in us. Not just halfway do it. There's no halfway in Christianity. Come on. It's either you're seeking God's face or you're not. Hallelujah. We can't be lukewarm. You know why we can't be lukewarm? It's because God's called us to be warriors for our kids. And I can't be I can't be a warrior if I'm being lukewarm. I can't be a warrior I can't be a godly husband if I'm being lukewarm. I can't minister to my wife, to my family that God's called me to, if I'm being wishy-washy with my relationship with the Lord. Come on. God's called us to war for our kids. Amen. To battle for our kids. It's so important that we remain. Yeah. We remain in Him. We stay connected to the Father. Hallelujah. I want to read one more. We're just going to keep on going. Because I think it's important that as a church body, we hear this. I know we've heard a lot of these scriptures before. That's all right. I'm going to be obedient to exactly what God's given me to share today. Amen. Complaint box right back there. It's cool. Matthew 7, 21 and 23. Jesus. Red letters. Well, not on this, but it's red letters. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only the one who does the will, who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? Did we not come and sing the songs? Shout to the Lord. I even got sweat spots. Many will say to you, me, on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. And this is verse 23, says, and this is the part, man, that I think should stir every believer. That should stir every person that comes to church. That I hope you wake up in the morning thinking about this. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Jesus says it. There's going to be a lot of people that say, Lord, Lord. There's going to be a lot of people that come to church. But on that last day, because they were just saying, yep, God's first, and then not really. They were living their own thing, doing their own, pursuing their own stuff. Can I tell you something, church body? Eternity is a long, 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 long eternity. There's no time with eternity. It's just, we don't really compute that in our heads. It doesn't fit. It doesn't fit because every single thing around us is based on time. Every single thing we do is based on time. Right? Everything around us lives and dies. Everything fades. Right? So it's hard for us to compute eternity. I don't want to take a chance. Jennifer posted this little clip on Facebook of a man preaching. So powerful, man. And it was just talking about how Noah spent 100 years building his ark. And for 100 years, he was trying and telling people about the Lord. And then the rain came. And every person out there around that boat was screaming, oh, crap. I done messed up. And there was no turning back from that point. It's going to be a lot of people when they wake up into their eternal body saying, oh, crap. It was real. I'm being blunt. The Word of God's blunt. Christianity is not a once and done thing. Christianity is a pursuit of Christ. It's a chase. It is a chase after holiness. It's a chase after righteousness. It's a chase that we've got to jump in on full force with every area of our lives. Not only does our lives depend on it, our souls, our kids. Our kids. Man, we've got to fight. We've got to fight. One of the, I heard a story one time, and I've shared it, but there's a story, Penn and Teller, those magicians guys and whatever. One of the guys, the one that talked, said, you know, he often gets people gets told, you know, after his little deal, his concert, whatever it is, performance, afterwards, he has a lot of times he'll have people come up to him and try to share the gospel with him. And he says, you know, I have a lot of people come up and do this, but if there was really a heaven and a hell, and people were really going to go to hell, why aren't Christians out in the street? Why aren't they doing more? Why aren't they really telling people? Because if there was really an eternity, if they really believed it, why aren't they doing more about it? Think about that. Your neighbors, your family. Man. We've got to chase after God with every fiber of our being. Every morning seeking His face. And if you know people that are lukewarm, man, encourage them, talk to them. Don't be shy. If you're feeling lukewarm today, and you've been wishy-washy, we're going to pray. Let's get into this thing wholeheartedly. Let's jump in the chase together. Doesn't matter what you're going through. Doesn't matter what you're struggling with. We all struggle. We all have things that we are working through that God is working in us in. Every last one of us, not a one person in this place is perfect. We're all on this journey together. Amen. Of pursuing Christ. Amen. And in our pursuit of Christ, that's when God is changing and helping us along the way. Amen. In the meantime, while God's helping us do things and fixing us, our responsibility is to be ministering to everybody around us and being that light and not being lukewarm. Being the spouse that God's called you to be. Being the parent that God's called you to be. Being the co-worker that God's called you to be. Be the church member that God's called you to be. Seek Him first. Amen. Seek first the kingdom of God in every area of our lives. Let's pray. Father, we love You. God, we thank You. Lord, we thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us so that we can run this race that You have set before us. Father, thank You for being so beautiful and so wonderful and so patient, so kind, so loving. God, I pray You just stir our hearts, Lord, to be more on fire for You than ever, God. God, I want to fall in love with You even more every day, God. God, and on that day, when I see You face to face, that moment that I breathe my last breath, in whatever season of my life that happens to be on, God. Lord, the only words I hear out of Your mouth is, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Well done." God, that word, those words drive me to pursue You. What You did on the cross, Father, drives me to pursue You, Father, more. Your grace, Your love, Your compassion drives me to pursue You even more, God. Lord, as a parent, God, I want to be a warrior for my kids. So that on the day that they see You face to face, God, that Andrew, all he hears is, "Well done." That Michelle, all she hears is, "Well done." And Avery, all she hears is, "Well done." And Aiden, all he hears is, "Well done." Amen. Amen. God, that's my heart's desire. Father, I pray You guide every single one of us to have that same passion, God, to run and chase after You. That all our kids, all our families hear those words. Well done. So, Father, right now, I'm going to pray over everybody in this room. And if you've been lukewarm today, all you have to do is talk to God and tell Him, "I'm sorry. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior again. Refresh me, God. Ignite my heart for You, Jesus." Amen. That's all it is. Hallelujah. Invite him in. Talk to him. Lord, I thank you so much. God, I pray that the church that us as the body of Christ chases after you wholeheartedly, God, in every aspect of our lives, not just at the top. God, you're not just the top. You're at every aspect, God. Every area of our lives, God. I want you a part of every decision, God. Guide us, Lord. Just thank you for what you have in store for us in this future, Lord. I just thank you for it, God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet today. Hallelujah. I want our ministry team to come up here. If you need prayer, man, if you've been feeling lukewarm, man, if you know you've been battling something that's been holding you back, that's been distracting you from your walk, would you come and let us pray with you and agree in prayer? Say, yeah, you know what? I've been struggling in this area and I need some prayer. I could use some help today because I want to be the warrior for my family. Amen. It's okay. We all struggle. We all have things. It's cool. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we love you. God, I thank you for your word today. God, I pray that your word has gone forth and that it has pierced hearts. God, that it's planted seed for those to chase after you, Father, even more fervently. To chase after you wholeheartedly in every aspect of our lives, God. Lord, that it has stirred every ear in this place, God. That it has not gone on rocky soil, God, that's gone on to good soil, Lord. That this word grows and develops, Lord, and does a beautiful thing in every one of our lives, Lord. I thank you for your word today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. God bless you guys. Y'all have a wonderful week. Hey, and guess what? We get to do this next Sunday. Come on! Hallelujah. Amen. We've got bread in the back here. Don't forget that. Hallelujah.